These are the type of people that you can't
tell me what to do.
Man, but believe me, you're adults. Nobody's trying to tell you what to do. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
The title of the message is Don't Isolate Yourself. I want you to understand that a relationship will be destroyed. It will deteriorate to the point that it says, also contempt. Cometh also contempt. And when we look at that, when there's contempt in a relationship, then can I tell you something? I think that can apply to a marriage. Why is there so much contempt in your marriage? Again, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I don't want to know. But if this applies, use this to avoid contempt in your what? Marriage. Use this to avoid what? Toxicity in your what? Marriage. You want a healthy marriage? Avoid this. Stop trying to be the person that always needs to be heard and just stop and listen. Stop trying to always isolate yourself from your spouse. Be united. Go on a date. You know, start the spark. Ignite the flight. Ignite whatever in there. Amen? It's so simple. I'm not saying it's easy. It's simple, though. Church members, one to another. Sometimes parents and children. Sometimes ministry leaders to volunteers. Pastors to leadership teams. Like, how am I going to know that you have a situation where you have an ought against me if you don't tell me? Amen? I'm not God. I'm not. You're not God. We're people. And the key to that relationship is to communicate. Relationships become unhealthy when people stop communicating, when people stop listening, when people stop trusting, when people stop becoming teachable. Today, this is what I want to look at, three biblical principles that will help us, I believe, to maintain healthy relationships through what the Bible says here, what God has put here. But I want to tell you, God has placed godly people around us for a reason. For a reason. Right? That's why we're supposed to assemble, not just gather. First point, don't separate yourself from the people God has given you. Don't separate yourself from the people that God has given you. It says, through desire, a man having what?
Separate himself.
Where does the problem start? What's the first step for a toxic relationship? It's when people, what? Come on now. It's in the Bible. I mean, look at it. It's right here. Look. Right here. Right here. I know this is the wall. But in your Bibles, amen, this is what it says. Where does the relationship turn unhealthy? When we decide to what? Come on now, church.
Separate.
When we decide to separate. Right? When we decide to divide ourselves. And listen, this is not talking about every so often you need your time alone. Is that fair? That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about you need your time alone with God, or you need your time alone with coffee, or you need your time alone to read a book. That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about the time that you need just to get a break. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about full-on separating. That's what this is talking about. Because we are, like God, people of relations. We have relational God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the
Spirit.
It's a relationship. That's what we're made to communicate. So, Jesus, did he separate himself from the disciples at times? To pray. But that's not what this is talking about. Okay? That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about permanent separation. This is talking about you on purpose trying to separate from what God has given you. Amen? All right, I'll say amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. This is talking about a person that pulls away and says, I'm going to do it my way. It's talking about somebody who questions the purpose in the sense that, you know what, I don't agree with you, so I'm going to, like, criticize your decision. You know, your pastor doesn't go around your children telling you, hey, your parents are awful. They don't know how to rear you. Why would I do that to you? But in return, I expect the same respect. I'm just saying, I don't think anybody does that, but I'm just saying, like, That's how this works. We need to get to that place where we need to stop trying to divide. It's not healthy for anyone. This is the reason why God brought you to Victory Baptist Church. It's not so we can know all your information, okay? That's not the point. But the point is so you can talk and see the relationships God has allowed you to connect with to help you in your walk with God. Because you will find some toxic relationships in the church, amen? I'll say that, amen? You will find people that they're just going to stray you away, okay? That doesn't make them bad people, it just makes them what? Huh? Lost. Sinners. Right? And sometimes they're probably having a bad day or having a bad year or maybe they're having a bad decade. It happens.
Yeah.
But we don't give up on them. Do we? God still died for them. God still loves them. The whole point of this is not to make us feel bad. It's to help us recognize there are some things in relationships that are toxic that we should avoid, like separation. And separation is not good when you separate yourself from the people that God has given you. Amen? Let me see here. I'll continue. Proverbs 27:17. What does it say? Iron sharpeneth iron. How can an iron sharpen another iron? There has to be what?
Right?
Contact. Friction. What happens when there's contact? There's going to be friction. You know what? Why many of you have, and I feel like I have a good relationship with some of you. Not because you're a yes sir, pastor. It's because you let me know how it is.
You let me know sometimes.
And I appreciate that. I invite candor.
Not disrespect.
There's a difference, right? But I do invite candor. I do invite truth and honesty. And if you don't agree with me on something, that's okay. You're going to find out. If you haven't figured it out yet or discovered it, this is your chance. You're going to find out. I'm okay if you don't agree with me on some things. I'm okay with that. Because I'm not all in all have all the answers. I'm not that all in all pastor, okay? That'd be foolish of me. I don't know. You can teach me something. But here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to... When you come to me and you don't agree with me on a certain thing, I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm not going to talk down to you. I'm not going to put you in your place, so to speak. Because that would be a what? Fool. This is what the Bible said, right? A fool. If I don't want to be a foolish pastor when it comes to counseling, if I don't want to be a foolish pastor as a shepherd that's leading the flock of the Lord, I should first listen. But here's the thing. There has to be communication. There has to be contact. The Bible here says iron sharpeneth iron. There are some things that you might not agree with me on that might help me. By the way, when I
read the Bible, I don't read it, oh, this is what the
church needs. No, this is what pastor.
Now,
you know, vice versa. You could apply that to yourself. This is what I need. But I want to have a good relationship. I want to have a good, healthy relationship with our leadership team, with the deacons of our church, with the Sunday school teachers. And teachers, by the way, this is something spiritual. Iron sharpened iron. That might be something a young boy or young girl can teach us. So a man sharpened the countenance of his what?
Friend.
I like this because if iron's going to sharpen iron, it can't be what? Separated.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Pastor, that's deep. Well, I mean, it's deep enough for us to get it. Amen. It's not that deep, okay? I get that. But sometimes in life we miss the simple things. The simple things. Because we're so distracted with everything else. Oh. But you know, iron can't sharpen iron if it's separated. We don't like how it feels, the friction. But that friction is what we need. The struggle, the pain is what we need to get sharper. Sometimes leadership gets sharpened through disagreement. Sometimes employees get sharpened through correction. Sometimes a pastor gets sharpened through someone else's wisdom of a godly leader. That's okay. I would have a hard time being under a leadership of a pastor who's arrogant and so stuck on himself that you can't ever correct him or tell him the truth. I would have a hard time with that.
Because it's showing me
their what? Their heart. Can't tell me what to do. That superiority complex. I'm gonna pass. Careful, your neck might end up getting knee surgery. And I'm like, Mike, careful. We're not looking for that. Now, last time I checked, it took the same amount of grace to save you, Pastor, that it took to save me. Right? So, here's the truth. Appreciate, if you can, the pastor you have, the ministry you're in, because some of you have come from relationships that are toxic. Some of you have come from ministries where the pastor will talk to you, and he's talking about your wife. I'm like, what? I heard that. I was like, what is that?
What is that? Huh? What is that? First of all,
to me, it's
control.
I don't have to be critical about the man, but to me, it's control. What in the world do I have to be talking to a man about his wife and how he needs to control his wife? Is that my business? Especially if it has nothing to do with the church. Now, I understand if there's a church thing, there's preferences, you know, there's goals and, you know, a certain thing that we expect, right? But would it be right for me just to treat you like a human being with all due respect and not invite your wife? What is she, chopped liver?
No.
Man, is it okay for me to? It's not about separation, my friends. The reason maybe you have an ought against that man's wife is because you're separating yourself and you're being foolish about this situation. Maybe she can kind of give you that woman's intuition that you lack. And she could probably explain, hey, this is the reason I do this. If you're going to talk about me, at least give me the opportunity to what?
Explain myself.
I mean, at least. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about iron sharpens iron. Guess what? We're going to communicate. We're going to do the hard thing. This is not the easy thing. The easy thing is for me to be in control, shut everybody up, divide everybody, create chaos, so that way you are lost, you need to come to me, and I tell you what to do. My friends, this is not that type of question. We're not trying to be toxic. We're trying to be spiritual. We're trying to go the hard way. Yeah, do I like friction? No. But it's going to make me better. It might make you better. It might give us insight to understanding the situation, right? This is what we're talking about, folks. We're not going to build a church where everything depends on one man. One day, I'm going to die. This is not the ministry of Ezekiel Rivera. I'm going to be sharing this with the new members last year, but that's not what this ministry is about, one man. And that's not what this ministry is going to continue being. We are trying to create something, a place for everyone to know Christ for a reason. I am not the focus here. The focus is who? Jesus. But I am not the person that needs to be in the position where if I die one day, you can't continue. What is that? Selfish? What is that? Self-consuming? Arrogant? What is that? That's somebody who needs to get right with God. That's not a church. And if you don't haven't realized what that is, it's because it's almost like they're grooming you into a cult. I'm not against church, man. We're in a church. I'm against false doctrine. I'm against what the Bible calls the doctrine of the devil. I'm against those pastors that are wolves in sheep's clothing, because that's who the Bible talks about, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what I'm against, and I'm against people hurting the church. Because guess what? I'm part of the church, too. I don't like being hurt. I don't want my kids to be hurt. There's no one perfect here. I understand that. But that's why here, this church is not being built by one person. It's being built where godly people are developing, where godly people are serving, where godly people are communicating, where godly people need God. And we need each other to be around each other. See, you don't need to separate yourself from your team, your family, young people, from your church. You don't need to separate yourself from the team that's going to strengthen you. I don't need to run from a difficult conversation with the deacons, or run away from a difficult conversation from teachers from our class, or missionaries, or parents. I don't need to do that. You say, Pastor, why? Because I need to have biblical conversation. How are we going to learn about the Bible if we don't apply it? You know what I noticed, Brother Nickerson? We're so stuck on reading the Bible in 1 year that we forget to get to know what the Bible says. We're so stuck. Now, I want you to read it in a year. If that makes you feel better, that's, you got a point. But I'd rather get the nuggets of truth that are going to change not only my life, but that I can pass on to my children and change their life, that we don't have to go through that cycle that I went through. You say, Pastor, don't you want them to experience that? No, here's the thing. I want them to avoid sin. But I can teach them how to avoid the sin, because this is what the Bible says. And we know enough of it to know what it says. I don't just read it and then let somebody else interpret it for me. Amen. This is the type of church this is. Man, I love men that came before us. I love the ministries because they paved the way for us. I'm not going to be disrespectful in that way. But don't mistake it from, I condone wrong, or I condone legalism, or I condone what you interpret as the Bible to be. No, know it. Read it enough that it makes a difference. Read it enough that, man, you get some insight. Here's the second point. Don't make your opinion more important than understanding. Proverbs 18:2. A fool has no delight in what?
The law of the Lord.
In what?
Understanding.
In understanding. But that his heart may discover what?
Itself.
Itself. Here's the tragedy. The fool doesn't want understanding.
Hey, young person, this
morning, can I tell you something? If you are the type of young person that you always argue, that you always try to coerce things your way, that you always try to neglect accountability, you're in danger of becoming this fool, because you're not trying to understand the situation. It's okay. It's okay to be corrected, young person. I don't get it when young people feel sometimes that their employer could correct them, but when they come home, parents can't. Did your employer change your diaper when you were one? This one guy, this guy did, all right? Did your employer put food on the table for you from the ages of 1 to now? Or 0, I guess, 9 months? Oh, well, 9 months too. You know, did the employer do that for you? Well, man, we put so much emphasis on my employer. Young person, don't become this fool, because then you become an adult that's a fool. And all your life is going to be chaotic, because you never learn to what? Be quiet and
understand.
But that his heart may discover itself. You become this adult that's childish in the way they think, in the sense that I need to be heard. I am right. I am this. This is the tragedy. You want to express yourself instead of understanding. You want everybody to know what you think instead of understanding what others think. You want to listen instead of, I'm sorry, you want to speak instead of listen, so you can learn. I know that we're getting in days where people are saying, man, you know, times are getting worse and sin is growing. And listen, it's been like that since the beginning of time. Remember the big flood? What God used to wipe out mankind, except for that family of eight, Noah's family? It's always been like this. Now, I know it's different in the style. I know it's different now that we have knowledge, the tip of our hands. I get that. Tip of our fingers. I get that. But sin has always been sin. And the way it's ruled people and the way it's created pain and sorrow in humanity and mankind, that's always been the same. But I'm going to tell you what's never changed. God's word. You know who's changed? You have. I have.
Humanity.
Humanity has. But God's words never change. So, if his word has never changed, and these are timeless principles, do you think we should probably listen to this? Instead of thinking, I need to express myself. I need everybody to know how I feel. I need to know how hard I have it. Here's the thing. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to
hear,
slow to
speak,
slow to
wrath.
Wrath. We should all value good counsel. From the parishioner to the pastor, we should all value good counsel. We should not think that someone that does not agree with us is against us. We should think, maybe they're not agreeing with us because there's a possibility that I might be wrong. And that's okay. I'm okay if I'm wrong. Amen? I'm not perfect. But we agree we're not perfect this morning? Because if that's the case, then understand this. When we're getting counsel, we're going to understand the difference between, here's the nugget of truth. We're going to understand the difference between, this is an opportunity for me to learn from this godly leader, or this right here feels like control. So let me tell you why I can't tell the difference. Because you're so quick to respond instead of listen. You're so quick to separate yourself instead of doing the hard thing. Nobody wants to show themselves vulnerable. I get that. But why not show yourself vulnerable to the people that God has put around you that can help instead of going on Facebook in the world who doesn't even care? Amen? Mm. Why would you do that to your family? Put your issues out there for everybody who doesn't care about you to know. Are they going to pray for you? Are they going to give you counsel? He said, no, but they'll like my post. Okay, understand. You're always trying to discover your heart. You're trying to express yourself. Amen? Who cares about the likes? What I'm trying to explain to us is this. There's a tremendous principle here. You listen before you react. Before you assume someone's motives, you ask questions. Before you believe that you've been disrespected, you get clarification. Amen? Before complaining about someone's decision, understand why the decision was made. Amen? You don't always have to agree. But we need to understand without being divisive. Amen? That's toxic. You say, well, here's a huge difference, okay? If my daughter, Harmony, she's doing the skit, I appreciate her helping me out, but if she were to go to the skit team, and by the way, y'all snitch on her if she does, amen? Tell on her. But if she goes to the skit team and says, well, Pastor wants it done this way, I'll talk to him because this is probably not going to work in the skit. Would that be better instead of, Pastor doesn't know what he's doing? What's the difference? The other one's bringing contempt. Right? It's disrespectful. Now, she would never do that. Amen? Right? She would never do that, but that's the difference between, I don't agree, let me be respectful and say, you know what? Maybe I'll need to talk to the pastor about this so we can switch up because it's not working. Again, I'm just using that as an illustration. I don't really think there's anything going on, okay, just so y'all know. But I want you to understand there's a difference between talk to them, I don't agree with this, we probably should change it, to, man, he doesn't know what he's doing. What was he thinking? What's the difference? What's being what? Critical, right? Is that necessary? It's not necessary, folks. And James says, let every man be swift and hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 15:22. I need to hurry. I still have time, though. Without counsel, purposes are what?
Disappointed.
In the multitude of counselors, they are what?
Established.
Again, we should get to that place where we value counsel. We should get to that place where Christians,
especially in our church, Sunday school teachers,
anyone in a leadership
position, anyone as a deacon, anyone as a
ministry leader,
to get to that place where they realize,
you know what? This was mentioned to me by the pastor. Maybe he wants
not to control, but to bring a
solution to this part of the ministry. And
it's not just a criticism.
But I'm going to tell you, you have to figure out what's what. You have to. You have to figure out if he's just trying to be critical, controlling, or is he actually trying to bring a solution and help you. There's a difference. It's not just simply looking at a problem and pointing at it. It's saying, man, how can I help fix that? That's the difference. Third point, I'll hurry. Protect the relationship because reproach hurts everybody. Proverbs 18:3, when the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt and ignominy, reproach. Reproach. So what's the result of the relationship? Contempt. Reproach. That's the result. It's toxic. Does this apply to the working environment? Yes. Does this apply to the family environment? Yes. Does this apply to the school environment? Yes. The community? Yes. This applies to every relationship. Once the contempt enters into a relationship, everything changes. You don't see the person the same way you used to. Have y'all ever had that happen? You used to admire or respect a certain individual, and then they did something wrong. Not that you heard, but you saw that they did something wrong, and then you're like, right? It brought conflict, right? Contempt, reproach. And you looked at it, and you're like, here's the thing. You don't see that person the same way anymore. You don't listen the same way anymore, contempt. You interpret everything, right? Through what? Is it being spectacle, suspicion? You're like, you're telling me the truth. Now, I don't know what you're thinking about right now. Okay, you guys are probably going like, what is it? Recon 5. I mean, you're like blowing things out of proportion like World War III status. I'm not, okay? Here's the thing. I'm thinking somebody told you they're going to come and help you, and they didn't keep their word. That's how I'm thinking, okay? If you guys go somewhere else with it, apply it. But if somebody were to tell me, brother, hey, pastor, I'll be here. I'll do it this way. Well, you have the opportunity to keep your what? Your word. You say, pastor, you never not kept your word? A lot of times. Amen? A lot of times. I have not kept my word. A lot of times. And I ask for forgiveness. I apologize. At least I have some kind of repentant, you know, heart, and I feel bad. I do. So I do understand there's reasons, okay? But, you know, my fear really is if I say, hey, I'm going to be there at this time, and I don't show up. I don't even have enough decency to text you. Just text. Or just do a smoke signal. Amen? Hopefully you see it. Amen? I mean, a quick call. I get it. Everybody's busy. That's what I'm saying. Quick smoke signal. Amen? No. Everybody's busy. But it's going to be difficult for Brother Heath to trust Pastor if I tell you I'm going to do something and I don't do it. Something simple. Like I said, just show up. Next time I say, hey, I'm going to show up, how are you going to view me as? Let's say this happened 3 times. Now how are you going to view me as? When I tell you, I'm going to show up, brother. Okay, that's harsh, okay? That's harsh. But I'll take that, amen? Because you're sharpening me right now. Hey, amen. I didn't do this, by the way, amen? But man, that hurt. Amen, not joking. But he's going to view me as a liar. In other words, it's suspicion, right? He's going to be like, is he really going to show up?
Flaky.
Huh?
Flaky. Flaky? Is that just me, flaky? It's my flakes.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, okay. But for me, Brandon, for me, it's going to be difficult for me to be that person that can have that positive influence in his life now. Because what I've done, I haven't kept my word, right? What I'm bringing is contempt. I'm acting like a fool in the simple fact that I can't even keep something simple as I'll show up on time really. What I'm creating, this is what I'm saying, is a toxic relationship right now, and we don't see it. We don't see it. That's the spiritual thing I'm talking about. It doesn't always have to be sinful, which it is sinful, I like, right? But I don't want him to view his pastor as in suspicion. I don't want him to view me as, man, that guy can't keep his word. Because what's going to happen next is, he's going to say, well, I can't depend on pastor. Take it a step further with spouses. Once that spouse breaks your trust, it's difficult. This is what we're trying to avoid. None of us are perfect at it. But what we're trying to explain is you don't have to isolate yourself. Work through it. That's the struggle. Create that friction. Explain where you're coming from. Let that other person talk to you about it. I could, Brother Heath could have said, man, it's been the past 3 times that pastor hasn't showed up. He told me he was going to show up for a cup of coffee. But what he didn't know is pastor had to go to the hospital. What he probably didn't know is pastor was probably visiting somebody that was in a car wreck. It doesn't make it right, but there's a reason for it. I just leave him hanging, so to speak. If he would have just what? Communicate it. Ask. Pastor, I know you miss. By the way, this hasn't happened, right, Brother? Hasn't happened? Say what? It hasn't happened. Amen. I'm not in control here, but hey. It hasn't happened. But here's the thing. If it did, there better be a good reason. Even if there's not a good reason, there needs to be an apology. Right? Oh, Brother Heath, I forgot. I've done that a lot. I have done that a lot. Pastor, that's not a good reason. I'm just being honest with you. I've done that a lot. Where I forgot. Because I have a certain schedule, and if it's something additional to what I already do by muscle memory, Brother Nickerson, and then this is an extra thing, I'm not going to remember. How many times have I told y'all, I don't remember when you tell me something in passing? Nobody remembers that? Thank you, Gideon. Amen, Brother Heath. All right. Gideon, there's hope for us. Everybody forgot, amen? See, so I can't be blamed for remembering everything. I forget. If you tell me something, Pastor, this point, I need a text to remind me. I need a call. Because I will be the kind Tyler that say, yes, I'll be there. And then Tyler's over there waiting for me. Pastor? I want to become that pastor, right? So it's key for us to avoid these things. Proverbs 18:3, when the wicked come, then comes also contempt, and with ignominy, reproach. Ephesians 6:7. Ephesians 6:7, it talks about with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That's in Ephesians. Matthew 18:15. I need to bring this to a close. Moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy what?
Brother.
You know what the problem with this verse is? People. It's not the verse. We know what to do. This is what we do. I'm going to wait till they apply the Bible. No, you apply the Bible, bro. Sis, apply the Bible. It's not my responsibility. Yeah, the Bible's for you. Take accountability, right? Because it might be that person didn't know. It might be they didn't know that they offended you because they didn't shake your hand. They might not have known that they're upset with you because you looked at them funny, like, and what you were trying to do is, you know, you were trying to wrestle that booger that's about to fall out. You didn't want it to fall out. You were, oh man, I don't want to stay, you know. And they're looking at me. Why did the pastor do that to me? Why did he give me that look? I was wrestling something else, not demons, a booger. Amen. It happens. It does. But here's the thing: don't assume. Be proactive, right? Children, sometimes we assume our parents are mad and upset. Just go ask. They're your parents, right? Well, I don't know if that's true, but I hear it. Okay. I don't know, but parents, sometimes you think your kids are mad, but just ask, right? They'll tell you they are or not. My point that I'm trying to make here is when there's conflict, you know that this is the resolution to it. This is a resolution. It's not gossip. It's not separating yourself. It's not whispering about what happened. It's not building a group of people to go against that person. That's not what this is about. But you know what you should do and what I should do? Protect the reputation of that person. People might say negative things about, you know, you. My job as a pastor, my duty, not even my job, it's what I should do. The decent thing I should do is protect your reputation before I hear both sides of the story. I mean, if I only hear one side, I'm not going to just jump on the bandwagon. I have to hear both sides. There was a situation of I won't say the ministry or the man, but you probably know in this local area that did some inappropriate things or whatever in counseling. And it included the opposite gender. Man was married. When it came to me, it has nothing to do with me. I am pastor of what? Thank you, Baptist Church. But when that situation came to me, and it came from both pastors, one that was leaving, the other one that, I guess, committed that, I didn't pick and choose sides. But I know that the ministry of God and the work of the Lord was going to be hurt, and he continued. That it wasn't depending on one man. So I know that if I can help the ministry in any way, I would. Doesn't mean I condone the action. Doesn't mean that I am against, because I don't know the information or the details about it. Follow me? But then, after talking to both men, one, of course, didn't. I want to choose my words wisely. I came to the conclusion when one didn't tell me the truth, the other one did. So I went with the Bible talking about weighing the spirits. In other words, looking at the situation, the pros and cons, looking at the behavior, the pattern, the history. And I went based off of that. Of course, the Bible is a very important thing, but I didn't make my decision just by, oh, really? First person that told me. I didn't do that. And so I'm trying to explain to us that if you have a problem with somebody, you need to talk to them. It's the toughest thing. You think I wanted to, Brother Zach, you think I wanted to talk to that pastor who was being accused of something? It has nothing to do with me. It's none of my business. But the ministry and the work of the Lord, I know it's God's people. I need to be a godly enough man to be there and find out the truth. Why? Even though it's not none of my business, because it was spilling over to our ministry. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I need to know what the people that are coming here need, the type of healing they need. It's not about judgment. It's not about being critical. I don't have time for the drama. But I do have time to do my job, and my job is to get into the Word of God, and this is a spiritual hospital where you can grow, where you can heal. But if I cannot even know, obey the word of God, my friends, this will be toxic. You follow me? This will become a church that is about controls. That's not the type of church we are. And I hope you pray and understand the spirit of our church. Just bow our head, close our eyes. Don't isolate yourself, folks. Don't isolate yourself. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I separating myself? Am I pulled away because I don't want correction? Am I seeking understanding, or am I actually listening? Or am I simply waiting for an opportunity to speak? As the piano plays, I want you to know that we're better together. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 through 3 is about relationships. It's a warning against isolation, because isolation, it's going to produce selfishness. It's going to produce people that are centered just on me, myself, and I. And when we're self-centered, you know what it produces? Foolishness. I don't want to become a church that's full of foolish people. Why, Pastor? Because foolishness then produces conflict. We don't want that in our church. Now, will conflict come? Yes. Will hard times come? Yes. But we don't want to produce those times. We want to be the type of people that communicate, because communication produces understanding. Understanding will produce trust. And trust produces unity. That's the type of church we want to be. And you know, when we're united, we become stronger. We become stronger. It produces strength. I want your marriages to be strong. I want your families to be strong. I want your children to grow up to be strong Christians. That's what we want to promote here at Victory Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would never be the type of people that when we disagree, we isolate ourselves and create these methods of division, these methods that are of conflict because we're fools. I pray that we become a people that are wise. We apply the Word of God. We know what it says. And therefore, Lord, we produce unity. We produce trust. We produce strength. That's the type of church we want to produce, Lord. I know we can't, but Lord, by your word and by trusting in you, that can be accomplished. I pray you be with us the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.